Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lay a little leg for me. Shiver a little leg to do. Shiver a little leg to me. Half past three.
And chick, 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 chicken. Lay a little leg for me. Good morning. We're in Clissold Park, where we started underneath a window where a guy was doing a little bit of
little kids
singing folk songs for babies, which has given us a real sense of running fast
the
away
wheels
from that,
on the bus go round and round.
The feet on the pool go down the hill. We are in our lovely Clissold Park.
Hard Brexit goes down the tubes all day.
Oh, straight to the politics. So we're going to go out, we're going to survey the area because we've been out interviewing people and having adventures. We're going to go today through Clissold Park. We might go around Clissold Park at the end, but let's go out.
Yes.
Go around the reservoirs. Finsey Park, Highbury Field.
Nice.
And
nice,
back.
Nice. Yeah,
so,
yeah. What about 6-7? 6 or 7?
That's exactly right.
Right.
And it's a lovely day. It's not. We're in and out of cloud, and it's blustery.
It was gorgeous yesterday, wasn't it? I don't know whether you went for a run yesterday, but it was so hot.
Yeah, did you?
I had to go for a run, yeah. I wasn't actually going to go for a run, but then it was so hot, I just kind of went out. I'd missed a couple of days, so I've been doing a lot of travelling. So.
Right, right.
How's
your... Where have you been?
Zurich and Geneva.
Oh! Ah, Schweiz.
Very nice, yeah. Just doing gigs with a Macintosh.
Do you want to hear something really obscure?
Yes.
Guy I used to work with... He used to always get into rows with them about incredibly little things, like his wedding. They had banoffee pie because it was him and his wife's favourite.
Yeah.
And every time he told the story, which was often, he said Bonhoeffe pie.
It's not the right word.
And in the end, after about 6 weeks, I said, "Well, it's not Bonhoeffe, is it? Because it's
you are
it's
aware
banana
of
and
the
toffee.
Correct.
Yeah.
Bonhoeffe. You got bun from banana and offy from toffee. Bonhoeffe. It's not Bonhoeffe.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because there's no oh, no. And he was like, "Oh, I suppose could be. So it's not could be. Anyway,
interesting opinion.
It's not an opinion.
Yeah.
And then we were in Switzerland, and his guess for why the international lettering on the back of a car for Switzerland is CH.
Right.
It's from the second and third letters of the word Schweiz.
Right.
Swiss in German. Because people always abbreviate acronyms to the second and third letters of the word, don't they?
Very rarely.
I'm so angry. Anyway, how was Switzerland?
Well, the gigs were great. Really good fun. Just quite quick. Really, really ornate. Mid-European luxury. Five-star hotels. Combined with... Because I've got no wedge at the moment.
Yeah.
Having no money to
Stop
kind of...
I've got to do my shoelace.
Having no money to kind of enjoy it. You know that sort of embarrassment when you arrive at a really nice hotel?
Can we take your card details?
No. Pardon?
No, can we take your card details? No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can't take them.
They come for your bags and it's like, actually, mate, I might as well take my own bags. I just haven't got anything to give you at all. Do you know? I'm the cheapest person in this hotel.
Yeah.
Oh. Which is always a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to have a bit of largesse when you go into those places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the rooms are fine. The gigs are great. all in all, good, really good fun. I mean, this hotel, the suite that McIntyre stayed in, had also been stayed by Michael Jackson and JFK. Not on the same night.
That sounds like a bit of a reveal.
And Sinatra as well. So
that was
pretty.
Oh, what a night!
What a night! So
Frank,
he's quite swish.
Do you want another drink?
When I was 17. The most impressive one of that.
If you want another drink, Michael, it's over there. Marilyn Monroe.
It was JFK, I think, by a distance. That felt the most impressive. But anyway, it was
because I stayed
good fun.
Calm yourself, because on Friday night, I stayed in the Ibis Styles Hotel just outside Barnsley.
Yeah.
When I didn't want to leave a card.
Often frequented by JFK.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. No, well, my room had previously been stayed in by Jeff from Sandbach.
Nigel from Surbiton.
I know that because it scratched his name in the headboard.
Oh, the Ibis.
And Nixon.
Yes, of course. Nixon loved an Ibis.
He loved Barnsley and he was really tight.
So where was that then? Where was that gig?
Well, I went my little journey of last week, right, just to bring everyone up to date. We're turning right past the climbing centre that looks like a spooky castle into the West Reservoir. Very nice. It's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today.
I did a gig at a golf hotel in near Chester on election day.
Tell me about the golf. Tell me about the golf hotel.
Roofing industry, although white collar,
right?
Management level,
yes.
But I opened the gig went well, I think. it was great, it was a lovely gig. And I think the reason it went well is because I said, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's June, you look out there. I mean, it was a really beautiful place. You could look out across the golf course,
right,
to the kind of shower buffeted green trees and breaking clouds to a beautiful sunset and the hills of Wales in the distance. I said, it's so lovely, isn't it? But you know what that needs? An aluminium roof over it. That's it. They're on site.
They loved it, yeah.
And we didn't talk about which way we'd voted, because I think
it's fairly obvious, yeah.
They'd all voted one way and I voted another. And that's the nature of democracy.
But it was a nice gig, though. So it's,
well,
so
look, these kids are sailing.
They can be pretty tricky, those gigs.
Good day for that. Look at that.
Was it mostly men or did they have the...
It was mostly men.
Right.
There was a sprinkling. It is interesting how there's a massive difference between all men and 100 men and a dozen women. You know, you don't need it to be half and half.
They really civilise a room, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. They lighten it massively.
Particularly when it's one like that, I say, quite managementy and dry.
Yeah.
If it's all men, it's not like they all start going, oi, oi. They just kind of just pull up, don't they? The shoulders come round.
Yeah, they get so defensive and odd and weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was on, it was a really nice hotel as well. Absolutely fantastic. It was one of those hotels, it wasn't a financial experience like yours, was just that sense of, what's the point of this if I'm just here on my own for work, you know?
Yes, yeah,
it'd be nice if I come here with my wife, but then I wouldn't have brought my wife here.
Yeah.
It's the odd experience of being a comedian.
Yeah.
We're going to
have a variety of hotels.
Do you remember running out to Hayes? Because we've got a pair of swans up ahead of us. I don't want no trouble.
Ooh.
There's only a pair, there's not. There aren't 150
swans. We
can't
see beyond the corner.
You immediately let me get in front there.
Yeah. Oh, you go.
You go first. You're the bird guy. You're the bird guy.
Definitely slowing
down. Hey, guys. Look, it's a signet. Oh, it's okay.
That's why the...
Look at your lovely signet. Okay, we get that. That's beautiful.
That's why they're more defensive with a signet.
This is more because you love you, not because you want to fight. Oh, it's looking up. Okay, we're going.
Huge necks, aren't they?
Yeah.
Incredibly strong necks.
They can break your arm, they say.
Shall we try a let's nick the signet competition?
Go for it, Rob. Bit of fartlek. You do it. Yeah. Well, I got my fastest ever motto, but both my arms are now broke. But
so a bit of travel, and then what? The Saturday?
I mean, the thing of being there on my own and it being pointless was exacerbated by the fact that in the morning I was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, just sorting out a few things before I left. And I overheard something from the next suite.
Really?
Yeah.
What, you a sort of morning?
I thought it was a posher hotel.
Experience, yeah.
I thought those walls would be thicker.
That's always a lonely moment, isn't it?
But, you know, that first of all, I felt disappointed, and then I realised that someone else was disappointed. So, you know, six of one. Anyway, so that's Friday morning, right?
So did you watch the...
What? Watch what?
The results.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I couldn't. There was a little peephole.
Yeah. Like, I tried. Like, don't think I didn't try.
Slid the picture over. No, I didn't. I actually avoided it. Right. I watched Sing to the Beatles yesterday.
Right.
I just had my fingers burned with the referendum and the American election.
Yeah, yeah, you expected the worst, so you didn't want to witness it.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't even expect the worst. I just didn't want to trust or hope.
Yeah.
And I really like what happened, but it's almost foolhardy to talk about it because, A, it led to... It led to, the shenanigans will go on for weeks, and
absolutely,
B,
yeah,
the world will probably have changed again by the time this goes out.
It's so fluid, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The whole political situation.
That's right.
So there's a bit of time. There's some kind of group yoga going on.
We'd be down flats. It's beautiful. Isn't it great here?
Yeah, it's lovely.
So we're just crossing the road from West Reservoir to East Reservoir. My friend used to run the cafe at East Reservoir when it first opened. She doesn't anymore.
Ooh.
So that's a shame.
That's a shame.
But apart from that, I think it's still going strong. I just think that when they decided it worked, they got to rent or something like that.
Yeah, of
something
course.
Selfish like.
Of course. Should we go over?
Yeah, let's
into
go.
Into the reservoir, into the Woodbury wetlands itself.
Woodbury wetlands, yes, please. So, yeah, so I was in near Chester, very nice, actually. I immediately invoked Barnsley to see a penny, pick it up, and all day you'll have good luck.
Nice, like
give
it.
Give it to a friend. I'm going to give it to you. Your luck Penny's will never good. End. Your luck will never end.
So you went from where? You went from Barnsley? Oh, nice. Cheers.
On Friday night, I was on in Newcastle, which, of course, is a long way away.
All right.
And I wanted to run on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So I scoped it out. Anyway, I worked on it with my son, because like me, he loves getting the map out. So I got to... I drove across the Peak District on the A628.
Yeah.
Stopped at a place called Croydon. Mm. And went north up the Pennine Way.
Oh, miss.
And it was fantastic.
I bet that was great, yeah. I bet that was lovely.
It was just superb.
Yeah.
I was listening to music and enjoying it. And then my music player went down. And... I thought of all the people saying, yeah, just listen to the nature, you know, listen to it. So I did. But of course, the song I'd been listening to when the music player went down just carried on playing in my head for, I don't know, it was an hour and a half. But it was excellent. I mean, it's so good up there.
It's beautiful, yeah. I tried to walk the Pennine Way once. That didn't last very long.
I was going to say, you tried to.
Well, no, I got 3 days in with me and a mate, and we just, after 3 days, we were penniless, lost. And no longer mates.
Yeah, you would think it'd
should
be...
Should we go here? Should we do, I quite
all
like
right,
the,
then. Yeah, he's like going down. He's opted... All right, Robert Frost, you took the path that you travelled by.
The extended route on the wood chip.
Last time we came down here, that was a while ago, but listeners might remember. This is the path where we came down. We saw a guy who looked like he was meditating. Turned out he was on the phone.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It's a nice
maybe he was. Life. He probably had a guy on the other end of the phone saying, breathe in, breathe out. Press one for me not
press
talking.
Press one for mindfulness. Two for enlightenment.
So, such a good run. And I love... it's funny, it's difficult when you're running a... You know, fell running is a bit strong. I know people really do that, but... You get into the rhythm of it, and you're kind of hopping and skipping over the rocks.
It is lovely, yes.
It's
yeah.
absolutely great. And then when you stop, you suddenly think, I might... If you start thinking about it logically, you kind of don't want to run anymore in case you trip over and smash your teeth in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I did
yeah.
that at
it's
the top. I stopped
yeah.
for some reason.
And realised what you were doing.
Yeah, and then when I started again, I was like, really? Is this what I was doing? And it's really... You get used to it, and you get good at it, and it's really nice on the way up. Because almost the attention to the ground distracts from the climb, you know?
It's coming down.
And it slows you down. And when you come
yeah.
down, yeah,
yeah.
the physics, because suddenly you've got this momentum.
Yeah.
So just when you got used to the rhythm of the thing, you there's this new added hazard. It's like levelling up in a computer game.
That's a real... That's where fell runners really distinguish themselves, because you can sort of keep up with most people going up if you're sort of bullish and good at running up hills, but downhill... It's a combination of technique and absolute bottle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
it's just like...
No, my brother's old girlfriend was a top mountain biker.
Right.
And exactly that. You know, he's a big man and he had no trouble physically keeping up with her on the downhill, even though she was a great rider because he had the gravity on his side.
Right.
But her commitment to the downhill was, you know, was
international. Cycling downhills.
Oh, she's off.
Yeah.
There she goes. They were trying to get mountain biking into the Olympics. And I think it's quite a good sport, but I think the reason they didn't have it is because it's just bad PR when people keep
really
breaking,
bad injuries,
keep breaking themselves. Hey, look, talking of cygnets, there's a whole family. There's swans and babies.
I like it.
It's quite far away.
It's just beautiful here, isn't it?
Try and get a picture of that with a zoom on. It's so nice up here. Look carefully, they're far away, but there's a whole family of swans there, out in the reservoir. So, it was really good, that run. It really made me think. I realised that, we were talking about this, online, that thing about being, you're very happy running slow.
Yes.
I think that is a product of being a good runner, of being a lifelong runner, kind of, you know, the measured athleticism of running is hardwired into your running so that you don't have to think about it too hard.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Whereas a lot of us amateurs, later life runners, we run at whatever speed we run at, whether it's fast or slow. And mine happens to be quite fast.
Yeah.
So when I run slow, when I decide to run slow, I just think, oh, come on.
What are we doing, sort of?
Yeah, and I lose all my form, you know, just flopping. And I just realised the other day, you know, because running slow is great, and you get into that mindset we were talking about with Martin Yelling about how it becomes all about the run, just running and distance and just covering ground.
Yes.
Not
yes.
the speed, not the end.
Not the time, yeah.
Just cruising, you know. And I realised that I do love that. It's just that I need one of two things. I either need our chat.
Yes.
Or tough...
Tough nature.
Tough right. nature. I need hills. Yeah. And then I'm naturally slowing down without thinking about it.
And it's really good fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and the body resets.
Yes.
And I think, oh, yeah, I could do this all day, you know.
Yeah.
And that, when you combine that with a mountain, it's such a wonderful feeling where you think, yeah, I'm going to run up the mountain, you know.
Well, we should do that like those. We should think of long nature.
Absolutely. Well, that was the other thing I think I said to you in the week.
Because it is good fun.
I like the idea of, we've talked about ultras. And it seems kind of obvious, but I never realised before last week what an ultra might feel like, you know?
Right.
I've always considered it as something that runners do.
Yeah.
But when I realised how much of adventure we have, like when we ran in Brighton.
Yes. Yeah,
it was
yeah,
only
yeah.
last week I connected that with what an ultra might feel like.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the feeling, isn't it? It's
yeah.
the kind of... the length of it, the adventure, where you go in your mind.
Yeah.
And the, you know, companionship and the laughs and all that. And obviously, extreme fatigue. I mean, there's no getting around it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I put you up. It's, yeah, you know, yeah. to give the
it's not just a massive jolly.
Oh, completely.
You know?
No, I think it's very basic, really, with yeah. running the way. And particularly when you get good at running, you have to seeking greater and deeper challenges.
Yes.
It's because
yeah.
you're chasing that high.
Yeah.
The high of tiring yourself out, so your body starts throwing chemicals at you so you survive.
Yes.
That makes you too tired to forget the worries and concerns of the day.
Yes, you need ever progressively more extreme challenges.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, you come right back to the basics of it, you know, talking about my son loving the map. He's a very happy, settled London boy.
Yeah.
But he says, I prefer the country.
Right.
And, you know, I think I'm a little bit too, what's the word, we meet plenty of people who say how rubbish London is. So I'm always saying, no, it's great. You know, I live there. It's an international city. It's cosmopolitan.
Yes, yeah.
There's lovely places like exactly where we are now. But equally, the country is really amazing.
It's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, when I was on that Pennine Way, I saw two women and two dogs.
Yeah.
Just in one group. And I saw them twice. And they were the only people there.
Yeah.
And we were about half an hour out of Manchester. You know, you say, oh, people at work, it was a Friday, but there was plenty of people in the massive Tesco I'd just been to.
Yes.
And I just thought, none of these people, you don't have to run. This just is right here, it's so fantastic, you know?
Just to get out in it, yeah. And feel it. And there's that kind of sturdiness, isn't it, though, about the people who really thrust themselves into nature, isn't it? That kind of relaxed jeopardy to it, you know?
Yeah,
They're happy being on their own.
You've got to do it
away from everyone else, you know?
Yeah. And then there's the magic of hills. You know, just the Peak District in particular, because it's big, soft country, but it gets bigger and bigger. And you've got the, you know, the crags kind of sneak up from under the ridges.
Yes.
And also the slight kind of badassery of its history, the fact that it's where people said, no, we're going to walk on your private land, you know, and it's all
right.
permitted. And, you know, it's quite revolutionary in a quiet way. And when you get to the top of a hill, you see over to the other side, and you know, that moment when I had to turn back, and I thought, but if I ran down there, just a bit further.
Just keep going.
It's really...
Just keep going, yeah.
It was wonderful.
Hills are great food, aren't they, for the runner? You just sort of invaluable, aren't they?
The other thing is, of course, just from an exercise point of view, you use different muscles.
Yeah.
So I had that ache and a really weird patches on my thighs, kind of up around the sides and up the top. And really good ache, you know, just a post-exercise ache. One of the kids put an elbow on my lap at the weekend, and I was like, oh! No, you're fine. It's, yeah, I actually feel quite smug.
Yeah. You can just feel the strength in your legs, can't you, though, yeah, after a couple of days on the hills. Yeah. You just feel it.
So we should do that.
Yeah, we should get out. We should have a look.
But it's nice to be back in our old home country. And then I went to this cheap but actually really quite nice hotel. Sorted myself out, did all my other exercises. And then drove up to this idyllic gig in a brewery in a park in Newcastle.
Oh, really?
So gorgeous. It's Wylam Brewery.
Sounds like you've had quite a nice varied few days.
But so many miles.
Yes, yeah, the driving. Yeah. And then you drove back.
Yeah, I drove back down to Barnsley,
right,
stayed over, and all drove right home in the morning, which was, yeah, good. It was sensible. But, you know, because I was doing some comedy online about petrol prices, so there's people getting in touch and saying, sorry, but it looks like you drove 700 miles in the last 2 days. Like, I must have made a mistake. Yeah, yeah. I was like, no, that's what we do. What happened.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah, exactly. That's what we always do.
If you're driving back from Newcastle, though, on a night, which I have done before,
yeah,
that's a tough one, isn't
that's
it?
That's too far.
Because you're getting about four, don't you? It's, yeah, just, it gets a bit dangerous, doesn't it?
It's too, yeah, far. And then I was on in Greenwich on Saturday, and I was like, thank you. Thank you for being in London. I can get to my house from here.
What was it, the creek like then?
It was great. Really good. Full. And they weren't leery or anything.
Sounds great.
And it's funny because I was in there just after the referendum.
Right.
The atmosphere was more sour. That's weird. Is that a different tree? I thought they'd got rid of this tree over the canal.
Well, this one is overhanging.
I think there's a new one. Can't be. I must have imagined they got rid of it because there wouldn't be another fallen tree in exactly the same place. No, I just remembered it wrong.
That looks quite dramatic.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that mallard standing guard over it.
Yeah. It's my patch, mate.
You think you're cool. You should see those swans.
That's my patch.
So, yeah, so I wasn't in Switzerland.
So a variety of different comedic experiences over the week.
That's right, Paul.
It's nice, isn't it, to get out and about.
Look at this house. That's like it's the Mediterranean. I like that one. Would you live there?
That looks beautiful.
It's a nice spot.
It? Well, I had Geneva on Friday, then early flight back, and then, of course, I did Guildford on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
G-Live, back to Guildford.
What were they like at G-Live?
They're actually really quite sort of... What were they like? Quite sort of restrained.
They can be quite resistant.
Restrained.
At Guildford G-Live.
Yeah, the G not so live.
Yeah, yeah. G-Dead.
Yeah, the G kind
Guildford
of...
G-Dead.
Springing into life, but not quite. But they were perfectly nice.
Yeah, and I think if you get your head down and fight through to entertaining them, yeah, they appreciate it.
Yes.
They're just a bit...
You can get there. You've got to kind of burrow deep into the soul of them to get some big laughs.
Yeah, that's
right. You've got to really drill down.
Yeah, you've got to drag it out of them. It is, you know, to use a oft-used metaphor, there is some teeth pulling going on there.
A little bit, yes.
But we're the dentists for that job.
Well,
get in there and get it out.
It was sort of combined really nice with sort of quite defensive audience banter antics. So Justin Morehouse comes on comparing. This is what I mean.
Yeah.
First minute, just chatting to the crowd, whatever.
Yeah.
He got a couple of laughs and then it was like, all right, mate. Oh, all right, mate. And Justin's like, what do you do? And he went, oh, your mum.
Ooh.
So we're at your mum after
you've
a minute.
You've gone in too hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's that, like you say, it sounds just offensive, but it's so defensive, isn't it?
It's like it's kind of
you
like
don't have to heck on. You certainly don't have to be rude. Just answer the question.
Yeah, yeah. Just we're all just insane now. Saying what you do is like, let's play, isn't it? That's all he's saying. Saying let's play.
By the way, that was a dead bird. That's how it went.
But then
no photos.
But then, of course, once someone's come out and said your mum. That makes Justin a bit defensive.
Yeah,
and then before you know it, he's defending his mum or he's having a go at his mum. You don't want to be on mums after a minute.
No, that's right.
It's like, so it was a combination of real politeness with a slight defensiveness,
which
did melt over the gig. Yes,
and also those two things, when you're a younger comedian, you're like, whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
But they're actually different symptoms of the same thing. You get a nice audience, but slightly polite or slightly quiet.
Yes.
And then, like a meerkat, an individual will just pop
strike.
Up and just, yeah, slam. And it's just crazy. It's like it's like in Serenity, where the massive majority of people have were killed by this thing that killed everyone, but the tiny 5-10% were turned into what they called reavers, but they're like incredibly angry,
rage zombies.
And that's what you got there. You got an audience which is 95% dead and 5% rage zombies.
And you could tell that the 95% didn't really... They kind of regretted the whole mum thing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's but like...
They weren't necessarily...
Before you know it, everyone's going down a path that they don't really want to go down.
That's right.
Any parallels?
I see what you're doing. No, what we need now is certainty.
Yes. We needed a strong and stable combat.
She's still pushing it. That is incredible.
Well, no, she's actually come out this morning and said that she was forced to say it and didn't want to say it.
Yeah, well, she started blaming other people a lot over the weekend. Yeah. But that is not the same as saying, I'm sorry I did wrong.
If only she'd done that.
I love the way that it was her advisor.
Just apologised.
We've never heard of them. But now it's their fault and they've resigned.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. That's how that works.
If only she'd just said, I made a mess of it and I'm carrying on just because we need continuity, but I'm probably going to be gone in a few months.
Who does that? You know?
Yeah.
It's absolutely great when people say, I was wrong about this. It's just so rare.
Imagine how people would instantly warm to her.
Yeah, well...
Because she's, after all...
I follow Eddie Marston on Twitter. Big fan. I think he's absolutely great.
Right.
Great actor. Excellent career. Big lefty.
Yeah.
Anti-Corbyn, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, well argued. Obviously, there's... You can be a...
It's not...
A real thinker can be anti-Corbyn. And he was saying over the weekend, you know, I'm still uncomfortable. I don't know what's going to happen next. But I was clearly wrong about... the level of support and how we would fight the election.
Yeah.
And I just thought, mate, it seems simple what you're saying, but just that ability to say, I was wrong.
Yes.
People don't do it, do they? No. Me and my wife always joke about it because at the end of Dirty Dancing, Jerry Orbach, as Baby's dad, says to Patrick Swayze, when I'm sorry, I say so.
Yeah.
And then he just walks away.
Yeah.
He quite literally doesn't.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
We always characterise Swayze as kind of and
the apologies are still forthcoming.
Yeah.
But Corbyn, we're obviously getting into a bit, but this won't date. The more you saw him, the more people liked him.
That's right.
The more he loosened up. He was like the guy with nothing to lose, wasn't it? Realised that...
But equally, I think he played the hand he was always playing. He was like, I'll wait till they come to me and then I'll deliver. You know, which is not in the rhythm of modern politics.
Yes.
And then once the election was in play, it really played. What's crazy is people in Labour saying... Imagine how well he would have done if he'd done it properly and had the party behind him. It's like, no. He mobilised, you know, he basically... I mean, in some votes, in quite a literal sense, he mobilised the same disenfranchised community that Nigel Farage has in the past.
He did
completely different politics, but just the sense of it's offering something different.
Yes, yeah.
Let's go over there.
The youth vote was massive, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Yeah.
And the lovely thing about that is that it's the youth, so that is the future. It's quite literally, you know, people who voted this time, they're just more likely to vote again next time.
Yes, yeah.
Particularly if it's in November, but that's another story. Morning, Magpie. So we've come right up to... Finsbury Park. If you went straight on here, we could go out the park and walk, but let's go left.
Let's go left.
And surveying the estate.
I didn't really run that much. I only had like 3 runs last week. I've undoubtedly been in a...
How many miles is that? We had a long run on Tuesday. Yeah.
But I've been in a bit of a... Just a bit of a post-London malaise, really. My body's a bit busted. My right arm's... constantly hurting.
And your shoulder was hurting the other day, wasn't it?
It feels muscular, but it's quite hard to rest your right arm, isn't it?
You know,
you're
one of these days,
using it.
You're going to have to get in some stretching and some yoga, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You're still, I know you do a bit, but you know.
Very, very rarely, yeah.
Yeah, scratching.
He's motioning, this guy.
Yeah, he's looking good.
That's good.
He's
good tempo, good tempo.
He was listening to fast music. He gave me a friendly nod, but he couldn't smile. He was going well.
Because you're constantly, like now, I'm using my right arm, and I can feel it.
But then using something that's hurting doesn't necessarily hurt it more. We know this from running on our legs.
Yeah.
You just got to use it right.
Yeah. Then it stops hurting.
It's funny, though, because I did
23 miles last week, did all my exercises.
Right.
Felt good at the end of the week. And I said to my wife, it's good to be getting back into it. She said, getting back into it? And yeah. I look back and it's basically, in. I know we missed that 10 mile, but we ran 10 miles 2 days later. And
yeah.
At the end of the week before that, I missed one run.
Yes.
Yeah, and in my head, it was like I'd really let the whole thing slide.
So for you, a week's running is what, four runs?
Three
runs, right, okay.
And always, you know, there's always, this great tradition of 7 miles, but
yeah.
Generally I'll do...
At least seven, so...
Well, yeah, and I'm much more open-minded about that now. So it's kind of like, I'll balance it up, I'll do 10 and then I'll do 5.
Right.
But let's go there, because I don't think we can get through over there. There's,
but it's got to be said, there's a lot of... It varies. In terms of, like, the people at my club.
Yeah.
I met one guy yesterday. I was out running. I just met him lounging in the park with his wife.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who was going to try and beat three, didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
He's just hardly done anything since London. But, I mean, he's a bit of a triathlete, so he cycles and stuff. But he's totally taken his foot off the gas.
Yeah. Well, this is the danger of deadlines. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a useful, empowering deadline without something falling away
when
once
it goes,
that thing's complete. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. But then you've got people who, 3 days later, were doing 400 metre sprints in the club championships.
They're
and they've already done about four races, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a continuing thing with some people, you know.
I think that for me, the ultimate one thing to have at the base of that is to say, first and foremost, I run.
Yes, you know,
sometimes I run more, sometimes I run less.
Yeah.
But I never don't run.
Yeah.
And if I'm running a marathon or something, I'm going to need to take a break.
Yeah.
But then I quite literally, one of the reasons I'm planning to do 2 marathons a month apart in the autumn is so that I can properly not run between them.
Right, yeah.
And then
yeah,
that's the only time I'm
going
to have a positive relationship with that. With letting my body rebuild itself in that way.
When I didn't... If I don't run for about 3 days, I start to get a bit antsy.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I hadn't run for a couple of days. I was feeling a little bit... You start to just feel a little bit overweight and kind of slothful, don't you? And kind of dissolute or something.
Yeah, and I think also, going back to what you were saying about mainlining the stuff that you get when you drive your body to extreme fatigue... let's do it. That's right. Oh, it's a green man. We weren't as badass as we thought. Up the steps onto the secret path, down behind the Gillespie Road Ecology Gardens. There goes Paul. How are those steps feeling?
Feel good.
Yeah, feeling good. Let's go up and down them a few times. Yeah, yeah. Or not. We get used to the basic level endorphins you get
of feeling that good
from running 20 miles a week. But
absolutely.
It is just chemicals, and if you don't do the run, you don't get them. And that leads to the feeling you just described.
It's as simple as that. Yes, I was feeling a bit tired and kind of, you know, Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon.
Were you drinking?
No, I wasn't. I didn't drink before I ran. I've drank a little bit afterwards, but not that much. And remarkably, it's Monday and I'm not hungover. It's incredible.
You didn't drink?
Oh, no, I drank a bit.
Oh, you did.
Don't get
drink.
Me wrong. But I just didn't do my normal Sunday plunge.
Yeah.
But I was tired. Even setting off for the run, I was tired. Just the first few 100 metres, I was physically tired. Where I don't know whether you ever get this, you think, I might just go back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I meant? But I kept on with it, and it just felt so good, you know.
I'm sure it's marathon related. I just think it's so weird. In general, we have trouble as runners with DOMS, you know, delayed onset muscle strain, where you think you've recovered from a run, and then 48 hours later it hits.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think running in your mid to late 40s, running marathons, that becomes such a long game. It's just surreal, you know.
I think it does, yeah.
London Marathon seems like it was last year, but we are still recovering.
Yeah, we probably are, yeah. But the punchline was, I ran 7 miles in the sun, came back in a much better frame of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, it's never the wrong
thing. Amazing. It never fails.
No.
Running.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now, I thought that when I went out last Monday, I hadn't done the... Well, like I said, I'd missed one run in the 10 mile.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I feel really fresh now. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But you also find that with comedy. See, when I was on holiday, I missed a run. I hadn't done comedy for about 6 days. And I just started wondering who the hell I was.
I get that. If I don't gig for, like, 4 days. I mean, I'll get... Well, the fact of the matter is... I have applied for different jobs on a Tuesday. If I'm not gigging till Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I can just be like, what am I going to do in my life? I'm just a different person. Do you know what I mean?
It's like... Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? How much does Milkman earn?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Jekyll and Hyde.
It's just that time, when you've got that much time, on one way you're time rich, but on the other, it can be pretty tricky.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
But the other one is, I mean, I think for me... This seems, seems simplistic, but I don't think it is. I think the great kind of guy ropes in my life are running, stand-up.
Yeah.
Or work, anyway. And parenting.
Yes.
And any time, those things are so huge, you rely on them. And also, they're just there. You do them all the time. I run all the time.
Yes.
Look after the kids and spend time with them all the time. Do comedy all the time. You take any one of those away, you don't really notice. I'll be away from the kids for a couple of days, you know.
No.
And then you turn around and the very fabric of your existence is all.
You start to feel a bit rudderless, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, you wonder what the hell's happening. I think it's healthy, really. But when it happens, it doesn't feel healthy. It feels like.
No.
Geez, how close am I
to? Feels like an existential threat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you know, I feel so sorry for people who end up. Who get injured.
Yeah.
Why you got to be really careful about the injury thing, because they still turn up at club night. Some of these people have just like run themselves in and now they can't run for like 10 months or something.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's like Laura Lester's friend who had to cancel the Brighton Marathon.
Yeah.
With kind of hours to spare. She said exactly that. She just didn't know what to do with herself. Who am I now?
Well, yeah. And I think it's... Martin Yelling said it's important not to define yourself by the times you do.
Yes.
And I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's impossible to involve a definition of what you do.
It's cross. And also, it's manual, isn't it? I mean, we know that is true, so we enforce it.
Yeah.
But we enforce it with our front brain, with our intellect.
Yes, yeah.
Because you're using those things, those distances and those mileages and everything, to push yourself forward all the time. You have to switch it on and off.
But you can't sort of... At the same time, it's very hard to avoid definition of yourself as a runner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's big. It doesn't matter how fast you do. When you get it into your life, you lay it into your life.
Yeah.
It becomes part of the structure and the pattern. That's really important, isn't
it? I prefer to define myself as a noted vegan. Yeah. I don't. God, talking of... vegan, really nice food at my friend's garden party yesterday.
Oh,
a couple
really?
Of fresh salads,
oh,
lots
really?
Of falafel, oh. Linda McCartney sausages. Cool, I tell
great.
You, we might need to stop somewhere. That's some loosening stuff.
You'd have liked
liked our lunch, our Sunday tea yesterday.
Yeah, you slaughtered a cow.
No, sausages.
Yeah, yeah.
Just loads of we had sausage and mash.
Load.
Yeah.
My son wanted bangers. I asked him what he wanted on Saturday, and it was, you know, we denied him because of hot weather, basically. But he said he thought about it for ages, and he said sausages and mashed potato.
Sausages.
And peas and gravy.
Yeah, that's what we had. The peas are really important, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
To get a bit of veg and a bit of...
Well, for me, historically, that would always be marrowfat peas. But that is a very difficult vegetable offer to put across in North London in the 21st century.
What, marrowfat peas?
Oh, yeah.
What are they? I'm not...
Well, they're what people at school used to call mushy peas.
I think
they're the ones you use for mushy peas.
Right.
But marrowfat, they're not mushed.
Right.
So they're big and fat, and in the old days, they'd be bright green.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
But they're not mashed up.
I remember.
They're pretty mushy when you eat them, because they've been sitting in salt water for ages.
Oh, mushy peas are great.
Yeah. I remember those things at school. There's a whole thing about school dinners. I used to love school dinners.
Semolina.
Go around the hall just finishing up all these old aluminium pots.
Yes.
Don't you want your gravy?
Was great, wasn't
stroke
it?
Mince.
Yeah.
Stroke mushy peas.
Shepherd's pie. Getting on well with the dinner lady so they give you a bit more.
Yeah. And the next day, I mean, it's a sort of balancing act, because if you finish all the mash, brilliant. But if you don't, the next day they're going to fry it up in little ice cream scoop balls for Duchess potatoes. Yumma.
Repackaged potatoes. Yesterday's potatoes.
I don't know.
The new identity.
But I think I'm showing my age.
Yeah. I think we are.
So, it was good doing this, talking to show my age. I met some very hip young Novocastrians at this craft brewery gig.
Yeah.
On it's Friday.
Right.
It was really good. But it's a good place to be cool. You know, there's some youngsters up there. And which way did Newcastle vote?
I think it's Labour. It's pretty Labour.
Is that true? I don't know.
I think it is. Yeah, I think there was more of a swing up north in terms of the Conservatives got more votes, but that was part of the problem. They put resources in areas. They got so arrogant they thought, we can take Sunderland and Newcastle and we're just a big power grab.
Yeah, and
they won votes but not seats.
Yeah, right.
So they just wasted time and money up there. Meanwhile, Labour having a go at the South.
Yeah, and got
Kensington. And they just nicked a few. But you talk about a climate where Labour have got Kensington and Conservatives have got Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Well, I need to talk to some friends, you know, because I remember during the Scottish referendum, you know, I had opinions and I love Scotland. I've spent a lot of time there. I get it, you know. But equally, just like someone, particularly someone who was voting for independence, we're just coming through the little alleys up from Arsenal to Highbury Field. It's excellent. Nice little pull here. But, you know, we're talking about the Scottish referendum. I knew that I couldn't have an opinion on it, ultimately. I can have an opinion, but I didn't have a stake in it, you know.
Yes, yeah. No skin in the game.
Interested but disinterested. And I feel a bit like that now. And I want to say, and I really mean it as a question, Scottish Tories, what's all that about? What? I never quite get it. It's going back to what we were saying about running, it's city versus country, isn't it?
It's city versus country. There's a bit of unionism in it, keeping the union together.
Yeah.
And then I also
is that
think
the union of the snake, like in Duran Duran?
I also think that they don't want another referendum.
No.
Completely bored
with
the idea.
That's what this election was about. Yeah,
and SNP have taken their eye off social care. And they've got a bit mono issue, haven't they?
And that's a real shame, because a bit like this election, the referendum in Scotland was healthy democracy. Now, whichever way you felt about it.
Oh, no, of course.
That was the way it
was. But the thirst for those type of things are pretty limited, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Out onto Highbury Field by Hugh Grant's house in 40s and a funeral. Is it raining?
Home of the
I hadn't noticed.
Highbury Fields park run.
What's your last park run?
My last park run was Hackney.
Oh,
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I do want to do a lot during the summer if I can.
Yeah.
I'm away again this week. I'm abroad this week doing gigs, so I'll miss out.
Your mile is a week on Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, it's a week on Thursday. The Golden Stag Special.
Yeah, yeah.
My quest for a 5:15.
We're sending the the whippet after the Golden Stag.
It's going to be tough.
What colour do you want?
It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But you want that.
Yeah. different kind of pain. I haven't really had a chance to... I missed a few track sessions. I'm going to be fairly unprepared for it.
Yeah.
Just going to go through my dicky arm.
Yeah. Is he there? Is he?
Yeah, old dicky arm's running. Yeah.
Dicky arm. So... Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because we've got to look at the... Yes. Well, you look at the future, but we're in a time of great... It's hard to know what's going to happen next in the political... It's weird the way that stuff kind of affects us, you know?
In the, it does when laced with other stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah,
with
you
other
kind of think, what
events, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Terrorism.
Manchester, Westminster.
Things
London.
Happening at yeah. home. It's, you really want to be able to just... level it all out and look forward, but there's never really an opportunity for that.
It contributes to a kind of... just a very... just a slightly odd feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, why, which is again, why you really appreciate the steady sweat of a good run, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. It's always the same, but it's never the same. Yeah. Here we are. We're going down a lovely diagonal in Highbury Field, and it's gorgeous. People with their dogs.
That's the one thing I sort of realised yesterday when I was running. And there's a, you know, there's a few things sort of professionally that a little bit hanging around might happen, might not happen, outside of your control. That's the great thing about that I constantly return to with running. Once you get an event in, it's yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can take control of that experience.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
In your preparation and on the day itself, can't you? This is mine.
Yeah.
There's something really nice about that.
Yeah. It gives you a lovely fake feeling of control over your life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, a transitory and ephemeral feeling of control over. I'm controlling this.
It's true. I think we're all searching for that all the time. We're looking for that. Now, you know, the human condition, I think, is we're searching for a stasis, a logical narrative.
A story.
A sense of control, a story.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, we'll never get it, of course, because life is chaos. And on the other hand,
and the bits,
we'll always search for it because that's how
we're meaning
apply this
creatures,
shape.
Aren't we?
And, yeah, exactly.
We want to find meaning.
And what we do within that is you do things like train for a marathon or go on a family holiday. I mean, it's interesting how... If you have one of those holidays where you think, we'll just go somewhere nice, sit there and read books and eat food and drink booze, and you do, and it's fantastic, you think, we should do this in our house.
Yes.
And when you're in your house, you can't.
No,
because
it's about
something
else. Because
there's a box of stuff behind the sofa that needs sorting out.
Yes, yeah,
you
yeah.
You need to rebook the MOT.
Holidays are holidays, aren't they?
You've got a phone, you know, a relative, whatever it might be.
Yes.
You realise that holiday situation was fake. Like when you have a really good holiday, I think, we should live here. You think,
yeah, that's a sign of a good holiday. It's a sign of a good holiday.
That's right. And sometimes you meet people and you think, you know, that you've lived in this, you're an expat, you've lived here for 15 years.
Yeah.
You're just on holiday.
Yes.
It's not real life.
If when you have a, when you sit down to a tomato salad on a holiday, like tomatoes and a bit of onion and olive oil.
Yeah.
On a sunny balcony.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you could possibly eat.
Yeah.
You get home and serve it, but everyone's like, where's the fish? Is this all we've got?
Yeah, right.
We're not having any bread with it. We're just having tomatoes and onions. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's environment, isn't it? It's a holiday.
That's right. It's interesting, isn't it? Because that does bring you full circle. Your talk of tomatoes on the balcony running, is it sensory?
Yes.
It's getting back to
it's
our
sensory
physical selves.
Yeah.
You know, because all that stuff is head stuff, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
This is great. This mum's doing exercises in the park there. I came down here the other day, and there were old people doing step-ups onto that wall.
Right.
In a big row. And then over by that massive slide, there were mums running up and down doing hill reps on the steps.
Great,
that's a well-used park.
Yeah. Are you watching... Well, I know the answer to this question, so in fact, I'll just launch into what I'm doing. We're watching Love Island on television. Have you seen
it? Ask me.
Have you seen
it? Ask me.
Are you
if
a
I'm
fan of Love Island? Are you watching?
Of course, I bloody am not. Although, more complicatedly, I used to, you know, quite enjoy my reality TV, and then I leant into it quite hard because, you know, obviously, a lot of comedians turn on TV being talking heads.
Yes.
And my act is very much a response to popular culture. You know, I love it.
Yes.
If I can go on telly and talk about pop music or films.
Yeah.
And so if you can add to that,
bit of reality.
I mean, I'm a celebrity. I did special reports every day for a month.
Right.
You know,
right.
So in a way, it was a bit of a
so you're not above
career path.
yes. that's finished, so I'm more resistant to that stuff than I used
yes.
to be.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, how's it going? What's
well, I mean, I've got there? Teenage kids, so yeah. like late teenage, so they're into it.
Yeah. It's just hilarious.
Just hilarious and vacuous and just everything you'd think it would be. And manipulative and kids, you know, just
yeah. I think it's just soap opera, really, isn't it?
It's soap opera, yeah. And it's really entertaining, but
I know, but not that that's a bad thing. That's I'd like that it. Story. Talk about the search
yeah,
for story.
Totally. And it's also sort of real people-y kind of interesting people watching stuff. But I think they should have old people Love Island.
Yeah.
I'd just love to see, but old people, the elderly.
But old people think that they don't do that stuff.
Yes.
You know, that they're not manipulative, they don't behave badly.
But of course they do.
No, yeah, but yeah. yeah. they're just like, no, I'm...
No, but I just love
I'm
the...
70, I'm a reasonable person.
I just love the comedy about it, because it's all so geared on, like, youth and beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least just every now and again stick a curveball in, so, that, you know, the new hotties entering the Love Island, one of them's, like, 50, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to mix it up a bit, you know?
Brilliant.
But it's hilarious, tell it.
I remember that first summer of the first Big Brother.
Yes, Nasty
was
Nick.
So exciting.
Yes, it was, yeah.
The theme tune. Yeah. You know, it was like, I was coming, maybe it's just because it was a good little boot slice of house. I just remember the Big Brother theme and the windows open, the hot weather. What's going to happen next?
Yes, it was.
And now, I can't define how little I care.
No, but that
it's
was also
life changes.
That was also before people started playing the game of it, didn't they? At yeah. first, it felt like a sociological experiment.
Exactly. Well,
people
in there
watching.
Literally didn't think anyone was watching.
Yeah,
which makes all the difference.
And then they came out and they're massive stars for a while. Yeah, I mean, my kids don't bother watching it.
Yeah, well, it's a different thing now, you know, it changed society. Generally, when an entertainment thing is very successful, it changes the environment it hits.
Yes,
and
yeah.
you can't do it again. Yeah. Big Brother, Young Ones,
yeah,
Pirates of the Caribbean, Pulp Fiction, you know.
They're still rolling with the Big Brother, aren't they? Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, amazingly, yes.
Channel 5.
Yeah. So,
and then you have those people who went away.
This is nice. Where they free tarmac. This is
lovely bit of tarmac.
Gorgeous tarmac.
Lovely bit of tarmac.
Free down this path. Highbury Field. Oh, it's like
they
running on soft.
They did that Eden project, didn't they? When those poor souls went off to the island, and then no one was watching.
Yeah.
It's just like
it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, that is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I bet they feel complicated now because they have to say, I mean, it doesn't matter because
it's just
that's not what it was all about.
Worth it for the experience.
Yeah. And actually, they're thinking, that was going to be famous.
What's the point?
Give me my
8 months
back. Oh, well. Imagine that. You can create an absolute idyll where people can invent whatever life they want and you can watch them doing it and no one's interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. that kind of sums up modern life. Trump don't want to come to the UK now.
He's not coming till we're all ready, till we all want to greet him.
We've had the latest trouble in America.
It'll take a while, though.
I might have this story wrong because I was only half listening to the radio this morning.
Yeah.
But apparently Trump's kids have been complaining about a production of Julius Caesar.
Right.
Where Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, where they draw the analogy, you know, the Caesar in
of
it looks
Trump
like Trump.
Caesar. Right, right.
Other characters in it.
Yeah.
Like, looking like his Melania.
Are we crossing?
So, yeah. And thank you. And they're really cross, you know, because they feel like they've been slandered. Can you imagine these people producing this Shakespeare just kind of going, well, it's what you do, isn't it? We're telling stories.
It's a play, isn't
it? I'm just looking forward to...
It's satire, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly, particularly in the home of free speech.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
And I just imagine, I really hope that Trump tweets something about Shakespeare being overrated, like he did with Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Sad. Sad.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's Shakespeare doing now? Yeah. Overrated.
What did Shakespeare ever do? Sad, man.
When's he ever had any?
No one's watching Twelfth Night.
And it's true, you know, I think that Shakespeare's version of The Apprentice is not as successful as Donald Trump's.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is quite a strange measure.
What I would like to happen politically in the discourse.
Yeah.
I know it's been a bit politics heavy this week, but it's quite hard to deny it.
Yeah.
I'd quite like Everyone should stop calling each other names.
Yeah, yeah.
On all sides.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'd just quite like to kind of raise the level a bit of
chat. No, I think
chat, that, you know.
Exactly. I blame the internet, and I think it leads right back into... Sorry. They're running after us. Run!
Oh, quick!
Child, chasing.
Stop him! Stop that man! Stop Deering and Tonkinson!
It's just black and white, isn't it? The internet encourages, the galvanising of opinions.
Yes.
And galvanising, down here, galvanising opinions, it doesn't need much encouragement, you know?
Yeah, just
it's hard enough to change someone's mind at the best of times.
But it's also part of that culture of, like, everyone trying to catch each other out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was including... You know, like, have you done, you know, journalists said, have you done the costings? How much will that cost? Oh, I don't know. It became more like testing.
Just trying to get
testing
you.
Knowledge. Just trying,
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's sassed.
But it's like that on the internet. It's, yeah, like people aren't really, oh, yeah, debating. They're just showing each other how much they think they know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And obviously what it's taught us is surely is no one really knows much about anything at the moment.
No, that's right. Yeah. we're just lacking nuance, you know.
Yes.
There's, yeah, no, the internet doesn't do nuance. And to be fair, that's led back into the culture. I mean, you know, Theresa May is at fault here. She doesn't want to discuss. It's like, and the culture says, fine, we won't discuss.
Yeah,
we'll,
yeah,
get picky, we'll get snickety, and we'll talk about it in sound bites, you know. But what we need is a dialogue.
Yes.
And it's, yeah, like you say, it's the same in line. I mean, I retweeted something the other day. Someone said, you know, and this is just the political opinion, and I'm just telling the story. If you don't agree with this, that is fine. That's what,
yes,
we're talking about.
Yeah.
But this bloke said, I'm getting a little bit tired of the Tories blowing things up and then saying they're the only people who can fix it, right?
Yes,
yeah. Now, I take this as, called the referendum.
Yes, yeah.
You know, called the election.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then both of them blew up in their faces.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then some guy, and it was someone else's tweet, and someone guy replied to it and said, well, but what about Labour in 2010?
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, I genuinely don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I can work it out and it's to do with the credit crunch or whatever.
You can always
but
go
it's
back.
Like,
yeah, there's always,
you're just doing what you said. It's just
it's
kind
all
of
a version of,
well, what about...
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's,
yeah,
always a, well, what about this?
What about, there's always a caveat.
And
I think you'll find that. I think you'll find that.
It's always a man. They always talk like they've just been a freaking genius.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
like, yeah, I know that.
Anyone who makes out that they know anything in the current environment, let's talk about it, but don't claim that we know.
Yeah, and that everyone else has been stupid until now.
Yes, yeah.
Until this second.
Oh. Oh.
So, we're about to get to Glacial Park. Do you want to know how far we've gone? Should we go round it, or should we just go to it?
I'm easy, mate. I'm easy either. I'm really enjoying the run and the chat.
Feeling good. Let's see how far we've come.
We've
only done five and a half, so let's, yeah, take a turn around the park.
Yeah, let's do a little trot around the park.
We're not there yet, but let's just know what's ahead of us. Lovely phone box. Not as quite as nice as that one in Dorset, but pretty nice.
What a great run with Old Yelling last week, wasn't it?
Really good.
Good fun.
It was
beautiful. Bit of an adventure.
Yeah, great. All
he's a lovely character.
All different environments,
yes,
as well. It was like,
yeah,
it was like going to the country theme park.
Yes.
We're so lucky as Londoners to be shown somewhere with heathland and rocks and hills and cliff tops and beaches. It's all there.
Yeah. And the whole thing only took an entire day, didn't it?
That's right. It was only,
yeah, very,
we only took 2 weeks out of our
lives. Very economical with time, that one. Ran there, thought it'd take us an hour. We ran for about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then drove back. Long time. So this is an example of the gentrification of Stoke, isn't it? This Clissold Park Tavern.
Yeah.
Have you been in there yet?
No, but
the redoing
I noticed
of the pub.
That,
it's got like fire, you know.
I think that they took decorating advice from Mick Jagger. They, yeah, saw a tavern and they wanted to paint it black.
Black!
I've never
black.
Been inside a pub that's painted black.
Well, they've done that. They've gone for it.
Yeah, they've made that happen. Back into Glissel Park, onto the wood chips.
So why don't Rob, Mr. Deering?
Yeah.
Why don't we run this way and then back to the cafe, and then we can have a coffee in the cafe?
I really like
that. Because it gives us a bit more length.
But if we're going all the way round...
But then...
Why does it matter which way round we go?
Well, because if we go all the way round, then we go for a run back on ourselves. So it's up to you. I mean... I think you'll find that we did that for a few weeks
ago.
Well,
what about in 2010?
Yeah, yeah.
someone, you can't have that discussion, can you? Someone's coming online and saying, I think you'll find what they meant about 2010. But there's always
something. It
just never ends. I go back to those guys, the nice Kiwi guys I met in Manchester who were
perfectly reasonable Trump supporters, yes.
And it really was interesting emotionally to talk to them because I was so uncomfortable, and that was because I respected them and I wanted to listen to them.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know where to put myself.
I've sort of realised that...
It just goes to show that you can listen without agreeing.
I sort of realised... I'm really fascinated by politics. I'm not particularly partisan in any direction. I've sort of realised that I could be persuaded by anyone reasonable for any perspective if I sat down with them for an hour. Yeah. I'm sort of like that. Well, of course, I've got a base level of
right wing
of morality.
Of morality.
But it's like, I don't know. I'm just a kind of. I tend to vote Lib Dems. I mean, when it comes to it, because it's a very real moment, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
When you get in the booth, and I tend to like it when I'll hear the Conservatives and I'll hear Labour. And then someone like Vince Cable come in and say, well, of course, what you need to... And I'll think, oh, I'm quite sort of with him, really. Quite like Vince. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I used to like Vince Cable, middle. But now I've got Sky.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to just go there.
It's like anything, isn't there? There aren't really any right or wrong answers. I mean, some answers are right than others. I think the healthiest thing... And again, I just feel like talking about... I've really, really had my fingers burned. I just feel like anything I say, someone's not going to like, and I kind of can't be bothered
with it.
Don't
worry about it. Yeah, of course.
It's doing the political gigs is a bit like that, you know. But I think I've never really got over saying, let's not kill anyone, getting booed for that.
Yes.
You know, there was context, but there wasn't much context.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think the greatest thing about this latest election is... that it is partisan, that we've got, that for better or worse,
we had
two-party politics.
You've got choices, yes.
And those people, the people who irritate me most, are the people who kind of smugly say, like, they've answered everything. Well, they're all as bad as each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's so simplistic, so reductive, and it doesn't fix anything.
Yes.
And yet, so many people will say it and think they've been clever. And the nice thing
about... as if no one's ever said it before.
Exactly. And the nicest thing about the current climate is... It's just obviously not true.
Yeah.
They might be as bad as each other in different ways, but they're not all the same as each other.
No, that's a good thing about that. That's a good thing about it, yeah. And the major story, isn't it? It's got really tribal again.
Yeah. Which is nice.
But within the tribes, there's tribes within tribes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in a way, that basic kind of knee-jerk, well, what do you think of this politics, has led itself inexorably back to actual morality politics. Yeah. So, because of the whole DUP thing, it's, well, what do you think about LGBT rights and abortion and stuff? And that, for better or worse, is a conversation people should be having.
Yeah.
Although, equally, people all over the mainland going, wait a minute, I didn't even know who the DUP are.
Yes.
They weren't on the debates.
No, they weren't. It's politics, isn't it? It's political expediency, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny because when you said politics just then, I really didn't think you said bollocks.
Yeah.
They are almost the same word.
I can't be a fan of those.
Let's cut the corner here so that
you don't
get into skateboarding
trouble. I was really doing those press-ups incorrectly.
Maybe it's a new exercise we don't know
about.
That
was a real...
Where you bend your body in half.
There was a guy doing press-ups off the bench.
Yeah. Bent pretty much in half
with his arse right in the air. Yeah. There was no straight backery about it, was there?
It's like a cross between a press-up and a downward dog.
He was a
with
soft
a bench.
He was a soft presser.
It was a downward dog bench up.
Yeah, it was
disastrous.
Yeah.
But hey,
but good luck to him. Everyone's doing a bit of exercise.
Better not than that. That's
better out than in. So we've kind of reached a kind of paddling phase of the run where I do feel I could run for a long time.
Yeah, it's good.
I kind of come beyond.
I feel like I could run for a long time if I hadn't had so much vegan food yesterday.
Did you eat a lot?
Yes, and I ate a lot. It was pretty much all bean-based.
Right, I like it. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Are you feeling the beans? Are you feeling them?
Right,
are they on a journey, the beans?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've nearly reached their destination. Listeners will be so pleased. So, are you doing any of the Clitheroe Park 5Ks?
I don't know. I might do. When are they?
I think they're soon.
They tend to be midweek.
Yeah. I think they're probably one every Wednesday night for 3 weeks sometime within the next month or so.
I might try and do a few, yeah. can't do this week because I'm in Harrogate.
I met someone yesterday who did 7 park runs in one day once.
How did that?
I kind of think you might as well do a marathon then.
No, but how did they do?
Apparently they're all paced out. It was like deliberate, and they were half.
All right, okay.
But then they can't be proper park runs because they're all supposed to be at 9 o'clock, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And maybe they had a TARDIS.
Yeah.
They had a TARDIS with donuts in it. Jump in, eat a couple of those. Mum, mum, mum.
Have you got your barcode? Do they do do they do park runs around the world?
Yes. Yep.
Because I'm in Bergen next week. I don't think they do one in Bergen. I'll have a look.
But I've told you where to run in Bergen, up those steps.
Yes, you'll have to tell me in detail, because I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, I've got a map somewhere.
Right.
I know a good run in Bergen. Woohoo! Oh, it's very exciting.
That's exciting, yeah. Because let's face it, when you're in Bergen, you can't really afford to do much else, can you?
No, that's true.
Pretty pricey.
Can I have a glass of water? Can I show your credit rating?
That would be £17.
Now, years ago, I was in Norway.
Yeah.
And I smoked, and I bought 20 cigarettes. And yeah. I'm still paying that off now.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible? Physically and financially poor.
Isn't it incredible, though, to think that you used to smoke?
I know, yeah.
Isn't it brilliant how far you've come, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And the stuff we used to do in the name of fun.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that's over.
Yeah. Yeah, great days. So glad they're over. So, we'll get around the park.
Yeah.
It's going to take a bit of presence of mind for me to get around the park, if I'm honest. Because it's a bit like when my daughter went off to school this morning. I said, okay, have a lovely day. Slam the front door, run into the bathroom.
Right, okay. Well, we can hit the diagonal.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Let's not
talk about it anymore. It seems like a very downbeat note.
Absolutely not.
To end a lovely show on.
Absolutely not.
And we've done, it's almost the loop of the park.
Yeah.
When you add the bit up to the middle and the bit
I can only remind you of my earlier comment whereby if we'd done the aforementioned route, we would be now approaching the cafe in question.
That's what I think. As we did.
Gordon Brown in 2010 when he took that.
So, when are you going to Bergen?
I'm doing Bergen Thursday, Friday, Saturday again with my Kentucker.
Excellent.
Yeah, should be good fun. And then Wednesday in Harrogate.
Yeah.
Loads of runs. And then
You could get a Yorkshire Dales running and a Bergen running this weekend.
Maybe.
Although the drive to Harrogate and back is sort of in the same day, really.
Right.
And that, because I've got a really early flight on Thursday morning.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is lovely coming up the middle. This is
oh, it's great to hit the diagonal.
Frame it up.
This is great.
Frame it up. There it is.
I need to go to church there.
Yeah. I wonder how far we come.
About 6.4.
Yeah, that's right. I like what you're saying. I'm going to tell you if you're right. 6.6.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
That's okay. So
that's cool, isn't it?
Let's speed up. Speed up for this bit up to the pan. And we'll say, we're going to do, what's the next thing? I suppose by the next time we talk, you might have done your stack.
Yes.
What else is coming up? I'm in Manchester again at some point soon. I'll tell you next time, but I'm going to do the park run up there.
Nice.
Some more
very swift park run. I'm going to try and get some guests in.
Yep. I'm going to have to stop there because I need to use these muscles for something else.
Yes, so, that's good.
It's been lovely here in North London.
There's nothing to see. Here we are. Give us a shout on RunComPod. Get in touch on Facebook.
Yep.
Tell us what you're doing. Summer's great for runs. Loads of races happening. Loads of different runs.
Yeah.
In touch.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.